Jane Kaczmarek may be a 3-time Golden Globe nominee for playing Lois in the television series Malcolm in the Middle, but she does consider theater to be her home. Over the past few years, she starred in Long Day's Journey Into Night at the Geffen Playhouse and The Roommate and Tell Me I'm Not Crazy at Williamstown Theater Festival, just to name a few. This month, she'll play the stage manager in Our Town at Sharon Playhouse in Sharon, Connecticut through the 24th. Described by Edward Albee as the greatest American play ever written, Our Town presents the small town of Grover's Corners in 3 acts: daily life, love and marriage, and death and eternity. Narrated by a stage manager and performed with minimal props and sets, the play depicts the simple lives of Webb and Gibbs families as their children fall in love, marry, and eventually die. Interviewing Jane Kaczmarek is one of the best parts of my job, and it is a great pleasure to welcome her to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
Oh, I am as happy as could be. You know, I moved up here to the northwest corner of Connecticut in 1986, and one of the joys of being here is that it always reminded me of Our Town. The cemetery is beautiful. I'm a real cemetery, a person very interested in cemeteries. I'm not quite sure what that would be, but Sharon, Connecticut hasn't really changed much since 1986, I have to say, which is wonderfully comforting. And Our Town is so much about, Our Town is about the sacred ordinary, which is the term that I like to use. You know, the gratitude for the simplest things in life, the sun coming up in the morning, all the little things that give us the true happiness in life. And this, and Sharon has always reminded me of that. So the first day of rehearsal, I was walking to the theater and I'm passing the post office and the town hall and the cemetery. And I'm thinking, this is life imitates art. I've passed this building, so, and now I'm going to do this play. And I'm just bawling my eyes out by the time I sat down to the read-through, which of course you can't do in a play because the whole point is if you get all emotional, the audience doesn't. So it was good for me to get it out of my system as I walked to the theater.
So 2017, you did this in Pasadena as part of a Deaf West production. What was it that led you initially to want to be the stage manager, to take on that role?
I saw Our Town for the first time in 1973 at the Milwaukee Rep. I was in high school. Judith Light was playing Emily, and I knew nothing about the play. And at its conclusion, I was crying so hard, and my nose was, I was using my program to sop up all this, these tears. And I remember thinking, can theater make people feel things like this? And it was a real impetus to become an actor and long to tell stories that get people to think and feel. And so I've had a hankering for Our Town ever since. I've seen many, many, many productions of it. I've acted it in college. And the Our Town experience at the Pasadena Playhouse, Danny Feldman was our new artistic director. He'd come up from Labyrinth Theater with Philip Seymour Hoffman in New York to run Pasadena Playhouse, and it was his favorite play. He came up to see me at Williamstown with Alfred Molina. We were doing a play, and we talked in the parking lot for 2 hours about Our Town, and it was his inaugural production as the new artistic director, along with Deaf West, this incredible theater group of deaf actors, and that was a profound experience. Trump had just been elected. We were talking about communication. And one of the essences of the play is it goes so fast, we don't have time to look at each other. How do you communicate when things are going so fast around you? And learning to do that with a deaf acting company was a truly profound experience of that kind of communication. And I signed a bit, but everyone in the play was either deaf and signing or hearing and also signing. And it was a terrific experience.
That was almost a duo for you because you were working with another actor who was signing. So what is it like now to do that? And it's just you.
Well, it's there's a lot more ease when it's just me. Troy Kotsur, who won the Oscar for Coda, this best supporting actor, is the deaf father in that wonderful movie, was one of the stage managers. And American Sign Language is not English.
Right.
And so I'm speaking English. He's signing American Sign Language. We rehearsed in front of big mirrors because we had to be consistent with each other. Sentences had to end in English when they ended in sign language. So we learned to be very aware of what the other person was doing to make it consistent. So once we had that down, I really couldn't change any inflection, anything going forward because of the timing, because we our timing had to be impeccable between the signing and this and the speaking. That was always to have it. There were three stage men, Russell Hazard, Alexander Wales, and Troy Kotsur. And they would be they would sign the stage manager with me and then switch out with one of the other ones and go and play one of the characters in the play. It was a beautiful ballet. You know, Deaf West is remarkable. They've done this with Big River, which they took to Broadway, Spring Awakening, which they took to Broadway. If anyone has yet to see that company perform, it's just an incredible theatrical experience because signing is so dramatic. It's so emotional and beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Your theater experience is taken to a whole new level.
I am a huge fan of Our Town. It's my favorite play. It was my mom's favorite play. She brought me when I was very young to see my first production. I've seen countless stage managers, everyone from James Whitmore to Paul Newman to Ned Beatty. And what the play shows is just how incredible and really, what's the word? I guess flexible. But the stage manager really is the person that is the ringleader. And what is it like to have that, for want of a better term, the power of sort of describing everything to the audience for the 2.5 hours?
The writing is so beautiful. I'm so familiar with this play that I break the fourth wall. You know, this is when you were talking about, I'll be saying what a great play this was. It was written in 1938. And what Thornton Wilder did with it is there are no sets. He wanted people to experience the words and what was going on with the people saying them and not think, oh, my mom has a couch like that or my grandma had those drapes. And the stage manager breaks the fourth wall and says to the audience, you know, come along with me. We're gonna take a little visit to this town. And very early in the play says, oh, Doc Gibbs, you know, Doc Gibbs died in 1930 and the hospital is named after him. And there are so many people along the way that the stage manager says, oh yeah, then he died in France in World War I. He died, she died. But at the end of the play, it's devastating, even though you've heard all along that everyone's going to die. And it's such an example of life. I mean, we all know there's an end, right? And yet we are devastated when it happens. And that's what the play is so, so good about, is that until it happens, make sure you are appreciating every minute of it. Emily says to the stage manager at the end, do any human beings ever appreciate life every minute? And the stage manager says, no. The saints and poets, maybe they do some. And I'm glad that you love the play so much because I do too. And Andres Nichols, who's directing it, does. A wonderful thing has happened up here. During COVID, there were about 14 theater professionals from Brooklyn who have moved up to Sharon in the Sharon area and have become very active at the Sharon Playhouse. And with the strike going on with Screen Actors Guild now, doing a play here, a play I love so well in a town I love so well, was just, I couldn't believe my luck. There are four equity actors in it and a lot of actors and townspeople, which is a real community effort, and it's really exciting to be working with them.
Jane Kaczmarek is playing the stage manager in Our Town at Sharon Playhouse in Sharon, Connecticut through the 24th. You can find out more at sharonplayhouse.org. You were talking before about doing this in 2017 and so much about communication. which I just want to get back to for a moment, because so much, we're not listening to one another very often.
Yeah.
No one's listening to each other, it seems, and there's a lot of shouting. And so to have a play like this where it's about communicating and really takes a look at what a community needs is especially fascinating.
Especially, as I said, it was written in 1938.
Yeah.
You know, World War II hadn't even begun. When you think that, you know, telephones in this country were largely party lines, typewriters were manual, there was the U.S. mail, there was no internet, there were no cell phones, there was no fax machine, there was no tech, there was nothing that we have now. And for Thornton Wilder to write in 1938 about we need to slow down and look at each other, I marvel at that realization in 1938 of the importance of that. And I think why this play is so universal and eternal is that now, when you think of how busy our lives are, that message is more important than ever. The experience with Deaf West too was so, Troy Kotzer and I realized we were sitting backstage ready to go on together at the soda shop scene, Mr. Morgan's soda shop, when Emily and George come in. And we were sitting next to each other and I realized he had never heard a word I'd said and he'd never spoken a word to me. And yet the intimacy I felt with him of doing this play together, communicating without speaking and hearing the way you usually communicate with anybody, was truly profound. It was such a gift to be able to experience that. And now with people who, I mean, we are in this play, we are all able to talk and hear each other. It's just wonderful to be doing this play again in these words. And there's a phrase at the end about in the cemetery about, oh, there are the Civil War veterans, New Hampshire boys, had a notion the Union ought to be kept together, even though they never saw more than 50 miles of it themselves. All they knew was the name, friends, the United States of America. And they went and died about it. That to me right now is the most meaningful and difficult part of the play, because I think of this country and I think of the idea of soldiers in the Civil War who never, you know, knew this country more than 50 miles of it and the sacrifice they made. It's a beautiful American play, and I'm just grateful to be doing it again.
I saw the production, the first time I ever saw a woman in the role of stage manager was Helen Hunt in New York. From my understanding at that time, there was only, in the original text, it is, there's, my guess is there's only one change really that you make where the stage manager is referred to by one of the characters as Sir. And that's really the only indication that the stage manager is a man.
That's funny, isn't it? And in those days, well, when the play was written, but certainly since then, there are actors of different color, actors of, you know, that the town of Grover's Corners is populated with really what America looks like today. And it's interesting playing the stage manager as a woman. You know, it's usually kind of this guy with a hat on and a cigarette leaning against a post taking us through this. I found when I did it at Pasadena Playhouse as a woman, it's a totally different experience when a woman's telling some of these things. That third act, as a woman, as a mother, when Emily goes back to her 12th birthday, what I realized was when you have children and they want to do something foolish, which is what going back to her 12th birthday is supposed to represent, you have to let them experience these things, even though you know how painful it's going to be, because the child has to go through that themselves to know. And I found that a really moving section of the play that I hadn't done before as the stage manager, because I knew Emily was going to be heartbroken at the end of this, but that she has to do it. And walking her then to her grave When I did it in Pasadena with the girl playing Emily, I walked her to her grave and I took her hair that was hanging in front and pulled it back behind her shoulders as if I was a mother preparing my daughter in her coffin. And it was an interesting thing because as a woman, you can do that. As a man, you couldn't. I mean, if the stage manager touched her and moved her hair, it might be kind of creepy. But I found all sorts of things that were possible with a woman being the stage manager, and a kind of certain depth in it that I think only can happen with a woman playing it.
It's interesting, too, just the use of that word, sir, again, going back to the late 1930s, but it does show the authority that Thornton Wilder was giving that character.
Yes, sir was also, I mean, there was much more polite verbiage, I think, in those days than there is now. But yes, you know, the stage manager is of both worlds. It's always kind of reminded me, if you know the Pirandello play, Six Characters in Search of an mm-hmm. Author, they don't exist unless somebody's doing that play. Those characters only exist when a theater is doing this play. And it's a similar thing in our town. You know, unless the stage manager comes out and says, this is Grover's Corners, it's May 7th, 1901, and these are the people you're about to see. That world comes to life when the stage manager introduces them and starts telling their stories. So I guess as far as an authority goes, you know, the stage manager being a man would obviously in 1938 be the person take them on that journey. But, you know, nowadays women are considered to able of having authority too. so it makes, I just think it makes really great sense to have a woman playing it. You know, Donald Margulies, who's a wonderful playwright, he won a Pulitzer Prize for Dinner with Friends, a production I did with him at South Coast Rep. He has written an introduction about this play and along with Albee thinks it's the great right. American play. I've talked to him. He had a student at Yale actually who wrote a paper on what happens when the woman plays the stage manager. And I was lucky to meet this girl. She moved to LA after she graduated from college. And this paper is remarkable about what she, knowing this play and what she thought the stage manager would represent as a woman. And a lot of what she was writing were things that I found, I agreed with her completely. So she was a very, very smart 20-year-old and a student of Donald Margulies. So that was a great association. You know, you find people, because you love this play so much, that people who love this play the way we do, it almost becomes, I don't want to say a cult, but there is the simplicity of it and that term, the sacred ordinary, that as you grow older, it just becomes a play you want to see and you want to marinate yourself in. And being older now, my children are all in college or out, my nest is empty. And having the opportunity to do it now in this town at my age is, it's even richer than it was when I was in high school and saw it.
I'm sure you're asked this question a lot over the last couple of weeks, but have you read yet, or are you reading Ann Patchett's Tom Lake?
Oh, it's so funny. Danny Feldman in Pasadena at Playhouse said, I'm reading this book. You have to read this. It's about our town. And I went online and several people have told me that I have not read it yet, but boy, is it at the top of my list. Have you read it?
Yes. And it's marvelous. And you know, one of the things is that this character who's talking to her daughters during COVID, she was a one-time actress, and they're asking her about her time with this big superstar. And it's fascinating because she's ultimately offered a role in the Spalding Gray production, which she doesn't do, which I just think is fascinating. Now, my understanding, because I always thought that Spalding Gray, having seen him in that, was fascinating. Seeing him do his monologue, Terrors of Pleasure, where he talks about the one line where he says, nice town. Know what I mean? And just fixates on that for hours and how difficult it was for him to get it right. And the direction that he received in that, I thought was fascinating. And then you were somehow involved in a production with Spalding Gray's widow, right?
I just did in Milwaukee. In fact, it was it's a theater company called Theater Gigante, run by Isabel Krall and Mark Anderson. And Mark Anderson was the date who took me to see Our Town in high school. We were high school friends. So they have a wonderful theater in Milwaukee, and they were doing a production of, it's called Stories Left to Tell. And it's Kathy Russo, his widow, put together parts of monologues, and she kind of a compilation of Spalding Gray at his best. And we just did it. I just did it in May. And one of the sections I read as Spalding Gray was about his production of when he did it, and about one of the little kids who, I don't know if this is involved in it, but you know, Spalding Gray is talking about there's something eternal way down deep in every human being. And they're waiting here. Aren't they waiting for something, the eternal part of them to come out clear? And there was a little boy playing Wally who projectile vomited on stage on this line. It's very funny. Spalding Gray talking about, because everyone is dead. Everyone is sitting in chairs. And Frances Conroy, who was playing Mrs. Gibbs, he said she looked up like, why is it raining on stage? That this kid had just, this poor child had vomited over her. And all the dead people staring straight ahead are now, you know, levitating, trying to get away from the kid. So Spalding Gray, he had a lot of amusing experiences and some terrifying experiences.
Yes. Well,
but yes, I just did that in May.
Wonderful way of sharing it. I would assume that when you get to do a role like this, it's just an honor, right? It's so identified with theater, and for so many of us, just iconic.
Yes, it is. And it continues to grow and change. I saw a production at American Place Theater in Spring Green, Wisconsin this summer that was likely the most exciting production I've ever seen of Our Town, because they took things that are always done a certain way and thought, why? And change them. And I'll give you an example of it. When Mr. Webb is talking, Editor Webb is talking, and he says, anybody in the audience have anything they want to say? And someone in the audience, a plant, says, is there a lot of drinking in Grover's Corners? And usually it's just somebody saying that. This production, they had a kid in a University of Wisconsin t-shirt say, is there a lot of drinking in Grover's Corners? And it was like he had come from the university to see this play and was wondering about how much people drank in Grover's Corners, which was hysterical and completely supported by the text. The one that really moved me was the next person in the audience, the plant, says, is there no interest in social economic inequality in Grover's Corners? Ben says, why don't they do something about it? This person came up and was so heartbroken. You thought, this looks like a person who has just lost their house in a foreclosure. The daughter is in the hospital. They have no health insurance, and runs to the stage saying, are you not interested in financial equality? Why don't you do something about it? And it stopped the show.
Yeah, I bet.
And wow. And Editor Webb says, well, we all try to help, but we don't much know how. And I thought I was so excited by this production, because they were taking lines that are always done a certain way and reinventing them. It was just a thrilling production. And believe me, I took notes throughout.
I want to leave with this question, which is a hard question, I admittedly, and it's and one that pains me to even have to ask. But I mentioned in the introduction, you know, you've worked at Williamstown. I think that was the last time I spoke to you. You've worked at Geffen. A lot of regional theaters are having a really hard time, and this is a show that is so often performed by regional theaters. I'm curious as to your actor perspective as to the real challenges these companies are having and what can be done to save them?
Well, I have to say that the Pasadena Playhouse with Danny Feldman, who I've mentioned earlier, I'm on the board there. And since Danny came in 2017, we just won the Tony this year, you know,
right,
as regional theater. And it's remarkable that to take a theater that was going through bankruptcy, had tremendous debt, and make of it what he has made of this theater is remarkable in a couple of ways. He's hugely charismatic. He loves theater. But he has, from day one, wanted to make this a theater about the community. We did a Sondheim, a year of Sondheim, and the first production was with the high, doing Into the Woods with kids from the public schools, not the private schools in Pasadena. And we put on Into the Woods with the public school kids at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium. 9,000 people saw this. It was free to the community. And these kids did the sets. They were the orchestra. We hired a professional conductor for the orchestra. We had a professional director for these actors. They did the sets. They did the, it was such a community engagement from the Pasadena Playhouse, and putting it on for that community free was Danny's way of really saying, this is your theater, people. We care about you as a community. And our subscriptions have gone up since COVID. We have gotten rid of tremendous amount of debt because Danny has managed to get the community, get their faith back in what this theater can be. I wish he would write a handbook on how it has all been done. He's very engaged with the staff. He's very engaged with every aspect of this. And one of the things he wants to do next is create a community theater at the Pasadena Playhouse. So it would be a professional theater and also a community theater, which if anybody's ever been in community theater productions, they know they're great to get people who aren't professional actors to be able to be in plays, to involve the community in plays. And, you know, he floated that by us and the board the other day, and we were so proud of him for thinking of that. And, I think we're going to thrive for a long time because of genuine community engagement in Pasadena.
And you see that mix in Sharon with actors along with non-professional actors.
Yeah. I've just reached out to a lot of people I've known here who, they might come to a play every now and then. And I'm thinking, wow, in Pasadena, reach out, invite everybody you know. So I've got a whole gang coming to just see what the Sharon Playhouse is all about.
Well, Jane Kaczmarek will play the stage manager in Our Town at Sharon Playhouse in Sharon, Connecticut through the 24th. You can find out more at sharonplayhouse.org. Jane, it's a delight, as always, to speak to you. I wish you all the luck in the world with the production. I can't wait to see it, and I thank you so much for spending time with us.
Well, you know, Joe, and as I said, we've been talking for years now at WAMC at the Roundtable, and I've loved that radio station since the Capital Connection back with Mario Cuomo, you know, in that short time. So it's great to be back in this neck of the woods and to have you guys on in my home all the time and just to talk to you again. I really enjoy it.
Well, a great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, Jane Kaczmarek plays the stage manager in Our Town at Sharon Playhouse in Sharon, Connecticut, sharonplayhouse.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.